Hallelujah. Today I want to talk to you about something that we can learn from the Old Testament. How many knows in the Old Testament it said there were types and shadows of things to come? Meaning that things in the Old Testament gave a shadow of what the future held. And here in this story, I'm going to be talking about the cloud of God is moving. Say that with me. The cloud of God is moving. We can learn from the experience of the Israelites that came out of bondage. Israel was in the wilderness and they were blessed to follow this cloud that God had manifested in their presence. This was a literal cloud by day, and the Bible says a pillar of fire by night. We in the New Testament can likewise incur blessings when we will be led of, now listen to this carefully, the cloud. You say, well, I don't see no cloud. Well, you will before the day's over with. We can be led by the cloud because the cloud represents the presence of God. Say that with me, presence of God. Every one of us here today has the presence of God in our lives if we're born again. And the presence of God represents the presence of God, which was the cloud in the Old Testament, the purposes of God, and it's for guidance. Here in Exodus chapter 13, and I'm going to start at verse 17, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. How many believes God likes to take the long route? But he has purposes in what he does. Look what he says. He says, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. I wasn't going to even use that verse. But as I was looking down at my notes, I seen that I had skipped that verse. And I thought, no, I want to speak on that. I just can't help but get in trouble sometimes. I like challenging folks. I believe that if we're never challenged, we'll never raise up to the challenge. We need to realize that God said the reason he didn't lead them along the road that went through the Philistine country, even though it was shorter, is because he said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. A lot of the times when God takes us out of bondage in the initial get born again and we begin to leave the road of sin and the road of bondage in our life, God will take us a route that leads us away from the enemy because he knows that the slightest little bit of resistance, we will turn back. Y'all looking at me like, preacher, you didn't have to get mean right off the bat. I'm not getting mean. I'm just telling you, God knows and he understands, and that's why he leads us certain ways. But listen, so verse 18 says, so God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. After leaving Succoth, they encamped at Etham, on the edge of the desert. By the day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The people of God then and now should follow God's spirit, or in this case we're talking about the cloud, following the leading and the guiding of his presence of the Holy Spirit. Did you know in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, in the New Testament, this is what it says? It says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. If we refuse to let the Lord lead us, well, you do the math. It was not simply a cloud, but rather it was the Lord going ahead of them in a pillar of a cloud. Why was it different back then? I'll tell you why it was different. It still has implication to us because God did not indwell people then. Why did he not indwell people? Because people were unclean. until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, the Bible says that he gave us a new spirit, which means God had a place to dwell that was clean. God created a place for himself to dwell in us when we got born again. In the Old Testament, the reason God had to lead them in such a way was a supernatural way is because he did not indwell his people like he does in the New Testament. This cloud was to lead them. It was to guide them. Verse 21 says, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in the pillar of cloud to guide them. Verse 18 says God led his people. It says, so God led the people around the desert road. And then verse 21, the Lord went ahead of them. I want you to understand something here today. The Lord wants to be the lead in our life. I seen a sign one time. It says, God is my co-pilot. No, he's not. He's your pilot. If anything, you're the co-pilot. God is not your co-pilot. God is the lead. And when we get that out of whack, that's when our lives go out of whack. God was leading them by a cloud. And God is leading us by his spirit. And that's where the Lord wants to be, ahead of us, leading us, directing us, not following after us, cleaning up our damage by our headstrong decisions that we make. Say amen. It'll get easier, I promise. God wants to be the lead. Why? Because God, like I showed you in the first verse, he sees what's ahead, doesn't he? How many knows he sees the enemy? He sees the Philistine country. Man, God's not afraid of the Philistines. But he has to build us up till we're able to face them. But God wants to be in the lead. And most of us, bless our hearts, this is something they say down south before they run you down. Bless your darling little heart, and then they just go ahead and let you have it. And most of us have it backwards. Most of us have it backwards. We have God following after us, cleaning up after us our messes. When God's saying, if you'll follow after me, you can avoid the messes. Remember, he told them, I'm taking them another way so they can avoid the enemy. If we'll learn to follow after God, then we won't have to deal with about 7/8 or 9/10 or 99.999% of the stuff we deal with. Because God will lead us away from that junk. So we need to learn the one thing, the principle that's here in the beginning is the cloud was there to teach the people to follow him. It says, by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Take her to the back, please. Amen. By night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Listen to me very carefully this morning. God is light. This world is full of darkness. What we need to do is look to God and his word, the Bible, to give us light so we can walk in this path or learn how to follow God. How many knows the Bible says, the word is a lamp unto my feet. God is trying to give us direction in life. And if you've ever walked at night without a light, how many knows you'll stumble around in the darkness? How many's ever got up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and didn't want to wake anybody up, so it was really dark, and you was in a deep, deep sleep? I'm going to tell a story on myself. One night I woke up, and I went to the bathroom, and I sleep on the side of the entrance into the bathroom. I remember walking up. We have a bay window in our bedroom, which is on the other side of the room. I'm standing in front of the bay window going, and my wife goes, honey, she rolls over and goes, what are you doing? And it was so dark, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I said, I'm going to the bathroom. She said, that's the bay window. What I'm trying to illustrate is this, that if you're walking in darkness, you don't know where you're going. And you're going to end up at the bay window. And if I would have went through that big window, it would have really been a mess. But what I'm trying to tell you is that God's word is a light, and he will lead us by his word. He leads us by his spirit. The spirit and the word, they do agree. And he wants to lead you with that lamp so that your feet don't get stumble and don't fool around and mess up in darkness and end up in a big mess. So the appropriate place for the spirit of God or the cloud to be is in front of the people. That's where the Lord always wants to be. And you know what Jesus told his disciples? It's really deep. How many is ready for a deep revelation? I'm going to get deep right now. Follow me. That's deep. You say, oh, that's so shallow, preacher. Then why you have such trouble doing it? If it's so shallow, why we struggle with that so much? Follow him. Jesus said, follow me. And God's going to take us to good places. So the cloud was there, and it represents God leading us, and it was before them. He was leading the children of Israel. Now look at Exodus chapter 14, bring that up, verse 8. It said, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. Verse 19, then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind him. Verse 20, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel, the people of God, throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side so that neither went near the other all night long. Let me tell you what that means. Sometimes a cloud or the Lord's presence moves behind to shield us from our enemies. Only heaven will tell. And sometimes you don't even know that the traps and the things that the enemy is planning and plotting in your life, and the Spirit of God moves behind you to protect you and to keep you. And only heaven will reveal how many times he saved our skin. I started to say something nice. Saved our skin from getting into some deep waters. Only heaven knows. But the cloud will go before us, and it also shield us from the enemy from behind and protect us. Look at in verse 20, it says, and the cloud did. Sometimes the Lord's presence brings us light and darkness. Darkness to one side and light to the other. When they followed the Lord, two things were happening. One, God was leading them out of bondage. Listen to me carefully. In that verse it says the enemy was behind him. God is taking his people out of bondage. Make no doubt about that or mistake. Second thing is the enemy is tracking you. He don't want to let you go. He had you for a long time. He likes. The Bible says when a spirit leaves a man, it goes out through dry places, desert places. And it says that it goes about seeking a home, and then it finds none. It returns where? To where it came from. The enemy was tracking behind them, but the Lord was shielding them from the enemy from behind. And the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing in yours, in my life, and he's trying to keep us out of bondage, slavery, and he's protecting us from what the enemy, the traps. The Bible says that we're not ignorant of the devil's schemes and devices, that the enemy is trying to constantly set us up and to cause us to fall. Now, here in Exodus chapter 33, here's another principle I want you to see that we need to get deep lodged down in our heart. Verse 7 through 9 and 33 says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp for some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone acquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Verse 8. And when Moses went out of the tent, or out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of the tent, or to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. Now look at verse 9. And Moses went into the tent. The pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. What is he saying to us today? The pillar of cloud would come down when Moses was inquiring of the Lord. What I'm telling you is this, is the Lord is always available to meet with you in prayer. Moses was inquiring of the Lord, and the Bible says the presence or the cloud of God, which represents the presence, would come down to meet with him. There is not a time that you can't go to your prayer closet that God won't meet you there. Are you listening? But I want you to understand something. Moses had to go to that place. The Bible says the reason we don't experience all of God's blessings and stuff is because we have not, because we ask not. What it means is this. If you ask not, that means you're not even going to prayer. Come on, church. You're not spending time in prayer. And that's where God's presence wants to meet you there. If you want to spend time in prayer, God says, just like he did in the Old Testament, if you'll come and inquire of him, he will be there. And listen to me. If you'll go and inquire of him, you'll be men and women of prayer, and you'll find yourself consistently in step with God's leading. If you will spend time in prayer, listen to me, you will know where God is taking you. How many understands this scripture in the New Testament that says the Holy Spirit will show us things to come? What is he showing us? He's showing us where he's taking us. He's showing us what he has planned for us. He's showing us the future, if you will. You don't need to call a psychic hotline. Not when you got God. If you're calling a psychic hotline, you need to stop. And you need to inquire of God, because he knows the future. Not only does he know the future, he has planned your future. And the Bible says he will lead you into that future if you will follow him. Now in Exodus chapter 40, God wants to fill you. Say, God wants to fill me. I find that the people of God are full, but it's not with God. The Bible calls us a vessel. A vessel can be this. And it's made for a purpose. Is that right? What is the purpose of this thing? To fill it up with tea, water, Kool-Aid, Coke, juice, whatever. But we are a vessel. And God wants us to be full. But he wants us to be full of him. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 33 through 35, then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up a curtain at the entrance of the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud had settled upon it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Listen to me carefully. In the New Testament, the Bible calls you a tabernacle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, you are the tabernacle, or you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill his people. Bring up the one I had, the next scripture I got, Brian. He also wants to fill the church, the next one. He wants to fill the church in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 3, there you go. Ephesians chapter 3. You don't have that one, do you? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Hallelujah. God wants to fill his temple, but he wants to fill his church. How many believes that we are the church? Two or three of you know that. Listen to me. This building is not the church. The Bible tells us to assemble ourselves together. It doesn't call the building the church. We can have church outside. The church is the people of God. We are the people of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. I'll read it to you. God wants to fill his church. And we are that church. What does he want to fill us with? Himself. The glory of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. And this is what it says. Well, let's back up to verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Let that soak in for a minute. God can do more than you can think or you can even imagine. According to the power that is at work within us. Let that soak in for a minute. What power works in us? Yes. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly or abundantly, the other scripture says in the King James, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power who works in us. The very thing that you're looking for, the power that you need and the source that you need lives in you. And until that dawns on you, you'll always be looking for something out there in the sky somewhere. And God, the Bible says, Paul told them when they were looking at this false God, he says, listen, the God that you're looking for is very, very near to you. He says he's at work within us. To him be glory in the church. Glory in the church. God doesn't want to glorify a building. He wants to glorify his people. And when his presence comes in, it is the glory of God. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. God wants to fill you because you're his tabernacle, you're his temple, you're his vessel, and he wants to fill you with his presence. He wants to come and take up his abode in you. Exodus chapter 40, verse 38 says, so the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. The cloud and the pillar of fire were with Israel during all their travels. I want you to understand something here this morning, that God will never leave you. Sister, I don't care how hard life gets at times, God never leaves you. I don't care how good it gets sometimes, God never leaves you. You know what? We feel like sometimes that God's not there, but God said, here's a promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care if you're having a good day, a bad day. I don't care if you're financially busted. I don't care if you're sick or you're in bondage. God says, I'll never leave you. He says, I'll never forsake you. I don't care if you're joyful or sad or in victory or defeat. When the Lord said, he will not abandon you. So God wants to fill you, and he wants you to know that he never wants to leave you. I believe when we get to heaven, the eternal life that God is talking about that we're going to have is God himself living in us. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 18, the cloud also taught them this. Number 8, verse 18 through 22. As the Lord's command, the Israelites set out at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. While the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed. Say obeyed. Obeyed the Lord's orders and did not set out. The cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at his command, they would set out. Verse 21. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning. When it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether day by day or by night, whether the cloud lifted, they set out. In other words, whenever the cloud lifted, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. Verse 22, whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or for a month or a year, say a year, the Israelites would remain at the camp and not set out. But but when it lifted, they would set out. Let me tell you what this means. In verse 18, the cloud, it says, taught them, doesn't it? Verse 18, at the Lord's command, it set out. And they camped out. The cloud taught them to follow the Lord's commands. Look, at the Lord's commands, they made camp. At his commands, they broke camp. The same instance of obedience and direction is required of you and I. God is saying, when I'm moving, you follow me. When I stop, you stop. If I say stay at a certain place for a certain time, and some people have the type A's have the hardest time with this, John. We want to get ahead of God. When God says stay, you stay. When God says don't make another move, you hold pattern. How many knows what hold pattern means? When you're in a plane and you're circling the airport, they say hold pattern. That means keep circling until they tell you to land, till it's safe. What we need to understand is God knows, God sees, and he understands. And we need to understand when God's moving, we need to move. And we all, how many, verse 21 says, sometimes the clouds stayed only from evening till morning. At times, God is moving quickly. No doubt about it. We've seen God move in the last couple of months in this church, and it's just been great. I love what God is doing. The Bible says in the book of Acts that suddenly God does something. And all of us, like a suddenly you get a breakthrough, and that job opportunity comes along that you've been looking for. Suddenly. suddenly your health springs forth as the noonday. Suddenly your relationships are mended with those that has been broken with. Suddenly you get a breakthrough and you no longer are bound by the things that used to bind you. Suddenly happens in our lives. But listen to this. Sometimes God moves slowly, and when he does, we need to learn, it says, obedience. God does not always move at our timetable. The Bible says that at appointed time Christ was manifest in the earth. And listen to this, verse 19. At other times the cloud remained a long time, and the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Let me tell you what happened during that time frame. Israel camped for nearly a year at Mount Sinai. And I want you to imagine how frustrating that must be. To be at one place, not moving, when God told you he's taking you somewhere. Listen to me very carefully, church. Of a truth this morning, every one of you in here, God has taken you somewhere. But he may have you camping out at Mount Sinai right now. And at Mount Sinai, they didn't do anything. They just sat there. And I'll tell you what happened. During this quiet time at Sinai, this is what happened. God gave the Ten Commandments, the law. He gave the priesthood and the tabernacle and much, much more. What am I saying to you? So when God's not moving, that does not mean God's not working. When you don't see evidence with your eyes that God is saying go forward or move, that does not mean God's not working. John questioned me several times along the way. He says, one thing I'm learning from you is patience, because you're a patient person. No, I'm not a patient person. I've just learned that if God's not telling me to go, my old pastor used to tell me, until the light turns green, don't go. He says, if the light's still red, stay there. I just learned that if I want to stay in step with God, I got to stay there. Does it hurt? Yes. Does my flesh want something different? Yes. But what happens? I discipline my flesh and I begin to learn the commands of God. I begin to learn how to be obedient. How many wants to be obedient this morning? How many's ever had those where God seemingly is blessing you, blessing you, blessing you? I want to tell you something. God moves in seasons. You don't plant today and tomorrow harvest. God moves in seasons. There's a time to plant, the Bible says, a time to harvest. And it's that way with the Lord. God has to work things out. When he gave Joseph this big dream that he was going to be some big person in the Lord, hey, it took 14 to 20 years. I forget the exact time, Brother Miller, 20 years for that to come about. There was a lot of setting time for Joseph. So just because God does it, is it seemingly, I've seen sister here, God just bless you in bunches. Is that right? And then I've seen seasons where he doesn't do anything. And that's the season when you draw nigh to God. That's when your roots go down far. That's not a time to get discontent and say, well, I guess the Lord's done. Come on now. And this is what we do. We expect God to be on our timetable all the time. God works on his timetable. And he's asking us to follow him. And he has purpose in everything that he does. God doesn't do things by happen chance. God does everything on purpose. And he was teaching them. It's a time to obey the Lord and grow and profit from what he's doing in your life. Don't get all bent out of shape when things ain't moving as fast as you think they should move. Because God moves in his own time, and he wants you to mature and grow during that time. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 32 to 33, it says, let God set the agenda. It says, in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in the fire by night and a cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way. Say, show you the way you should go. God's trying to show you the way you should go. And unless you obey him, you're not going the same direction he's going. I'll say that again. Unless you're willing to obey the Lord and follow him, you are not going the same direction the Lord's going. I knew that would go over like a lead balloon. Hallelujah. Let God set the agenda for your life. Let him determine the place for you to camp. Let me share one story along those lines. God, I got called to preach in 1984. I did associate pastor for almost 3.5 years. Then I left and we moved up here. And then I decided I did not want to be in ministry anymore. I decided I wanted to pursue other things. What I mean by that is the business world and excel in what I was doing on my job. So I kept going to church, but I told the Lord I would not pastor a church. That was no longer on the table. How many knows you don't tell God what you're going to do? For some 7 years went by till finally God got me in a position. I was in a holding pattern, if you will. Got me in a position where I finally said, yes, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do in spite of what I thought I wanted to do. So after 7 years, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm willing to pastor a church now. I remember it just like it was yesterday. I come off the hill, told my wife, she was excited. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, now go tell your pastor you're here to serve him. I said, are you kidding me? After 7 long years, I'm ready, God. And God says, go tell your pastor that you're here to do anything he wants you to do till I release you. Red light. God is my witness. There were times, and my pastor believed in, if you told him that, he took full advantage of it. He was not shy about asking you to do anything. If you told him you wanted to help in the church, buddy, if there was a hole to be dug, and I dug a bunch of them, when we were building the new church, nobody would get down. It was a fall time, and it was muddy back in November, cold, wet. Nobody would dig this hole for the electric company, and he come to me and says, are you serious about what you told me? I said, well, certainly. He says, then could you be up here tomorrow at such and such time? I need you to dig a hole for me. I remember mud, just like Paul and Silas, up to my neck, standing in this hole probably this deep, shoveling that stuff out. Everybody walking by that was doing the inside work in the church grinning at me. And I remember the Lord saying, I'm teaching you something. Come on. I'm teaching you something. Then he asked me, would you run the bus ministry? Van ministry? I really didn't want to do it because it required me getting to church early. Oh, I knew that wouldn't go over good. I didn't want to do it because it required effort out of me. It required me to get up early, to leave my family, and to go be there before everybody else got there and start going and picking up people. But you know what? The Lord said, do it. And there was many things along the way he asked me to do. He asked me to be on an advisory board. I said, I'll do that. Oh, I like doing that. Yeah, I'm a big shot. We like those. But it always happened on Sunday afternoon when the football games were on. Come on now. Every couple of months, I would go to the Lord and I'd say, I'm ready, Lord. And the Lord said, no. Then we got involved in helping the youth, and we were taking them to Joyce Meyer events and different things. And I thought, man, I'm having a good time, don't get me wrong. But in that holding pattern, I was learning something I know today that I didn't know then. Had God released me, I would not have been ready. Because I was fixing, and my pastor used to tell me all the horrors of ministry. I thought, well, you're just trying to discourage me. No, he wasn't. He was preparing me. And then I got to witness quite a few of it myself. And during that time, I matured in some areas that I needed maturity in. See, when God is not doing something to your liking, meaning that he's not moving at warp speed for you, he's doing something for your good. God knows what you have need of. And if we'll just let God work his salvation out in our life, he will do that. Amen. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 6, and I'm getting ready to close. It says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, for that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses, into the cloud, in the sea, and they all ate of the same spiritual food. In other words, they partook of the same thing Moses was. And they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Glory to God. Verse 5, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as an example to keep us from from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Here's the final lesson I want you to get out of this cloud experience. It's like Israel of old. Come on up, if you will, Nina and Adam. Like Israel of old, we can have all of those blessings. We can have the cloud, the pillar, the fire, the heaven-sent food and drink, the presence of God, the rock of Christ, and still fail. Let that sink in for a minute. We can have all of the presence of God, all of the blessings of God, all the spiritual food of God, all the rock, we're talking about Christ, the water that came, the nourishment of God, and still fail if we set our hearts on evil things. And he told us not to be ignorant. They were for an example. Listen to me very carefully. We can still fail God. But unlike Israel in the desert, let's not take for granted the blessings of God by setting our hearts on evil things as they did. This is a solemn warning to all of us this morning. Yes, God is a God of grace. Say that with me. God is gracious. Was he gracious in the Old Testament? He's still gracious today. But listen to me. If we set our hearts on evil things instead of God, it'll lead us away from where God intended for us to be. And not only will we fail God, we'll fail ourselves. And we'll end up at a destination that God never intended for us to end up at. Let me review real quick, because I want this to get into your heart this morning. We receive his leading and his guidance. He illuminates our pathways. Following his cloud keeps us from following purely human impulses and promptings. His cloud or pillar of fire will shield us from our enemies. While illuminating us at times, he brings darkness and confusion upon our enemies. The cloud came down at times in response to Moses seeking God in prayer, and he'll do the same for you. The cloud and the pillar of fire speaks of the glory of God in his church. How many wants the glory in his church? You got to be full of the glory if there's going to be glory in his church. The cloud speaks of God abiding faithfulness to you, of his promise to never forsake you. Following the cloud speaks of unquestioning obedience to the Lord's commands. And sometimes the cloud of God moves quickly in your life, your family, your church, and sometimes he don't. At other times the cloud will seem to have stalled, but God is still working dramatically in our lives. Understand that. God's cloud will show you the places he wants you to go and the precise way to get there. Don't take for granted that God's not leading you, because he is. And unlike Israel of old, do not take the cloud of God for granted and lightly and turn aside to follow after other things. Stand to your feet. Father, we bless you today and we praise you today for the leading of the Holy Spirit. I ask today, God, that you continue to guide us as a church and guide your people, Lord. I know where you're taking us. You're taking us away from Egypt and into the promised land. And God, along the way, I know that you're working things out in us. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to that call, to that guidance, in Jesus' name. Today, before we close, I want to give anybody an opportunity that you, if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you want to start on this path, today is the day you can do that. And all you need to do is raise your hand, and God, I'll pray with you, and you'll become a child of God today. God's open, stand there with open arms. Anybody at all? Listen to me. Every one of us come that way. Understand, God has great things in store for us, but he needs our heart. Amen. Anybody at all? Or if you've served the Lord and you've got off the path and you want to get back on that path and you need me to pray with you. Or if you need healing in your body or deliverance or anything from the Lord, would you come up? Hallelujah.